What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is my mother, Nina. I wanted to talk to you growing up in Russia. What was it like to grow up in Russia being a Jewish person? I would ask you some questions about what was communist Russia like when you were, you remember to your memories as how it was. Can you elaborate a little bit? So tell me a little bit about your first memories of growing up in Russia as a Jewish person.
I've always known that I was Jewish, even as a very little child. Cousins who were a little bit older than me knew that they were Jewish. Our parents, my parents, my aunts and uncles, if they didn't want us to know something, they would speak Yiddish. So we didn't know what they were saying, but we knew that it was a different language other than Russian. And somehow, even without knowing the language, if they were talking about us, the kids, somehow we always knew that they were talking about us. When I went to school, some of my classmates saying that Hitler did the right thing by burning Jews. The only thing is that he didn't burn enough of them. Should have been a lot more. Heard these things. I guess it was their environment. They might have heard things like that at home. And it was an awful thing to say. And that's how we always, the kids, knew that we were Jewish and always felt like we did not belong. It was reminded to you all the time that you were different. And in the public transportation where when I was no longer a child, but quite an adult, and people could just start picking on you for no reason whatsoever, calling you the most insulting word was Żyd, which is actually a Polish word for a Jew. But the connotation was totally different. It was a very negative connotation. It was supposed to be kind of a dirty word. Just being in a metro, and whatsoever, somebody will start picking on you and like go to your Israel. That was the time when immigration already started. And actually not stay, keep silent. And if somebody said to me that go to your Israel, you don't belong here, I would say that when I decide to go to Israel, I would not ask for your permission. It will be my decision, mine only. what else to say to add to it, because really,
you get picked on. Can I stop for a second before you start talking about like going to Israel or what about like what was it like? Were you personally picked on for being Jewish? Like how, I mean, aside from the obvious name, your last name being obviously not a Russian surname.
Obviously not. And the former Soviet Union, I don't know about how it is now at schools, but in my time, the school year will start with a teacher reading a list of the students, and whenever it sounded like a Jewish last name, other kids will laugh. Also, when they were reading your names, you had to say what your nationality was. And in the Soviet Union, a Jew was not a religion, it was a nationality. Everybody in their certificate had already a nationality. You could be just 5 days old, and in your birth certificate, it was written that your parents are Jewish, and obviously you are. Later, when you turned 16, you were getting a passport. And unlike in countries like United States or European countries, a passport was more of a travel document. In the Soviet Union, it was, again, something that was telling that you are a Jew. That's your nationality. I recall one of my cousins coming home from school. She would tell her mother, my aunt, Mom, why is it that when they were calling us by names and were asking about the nationality, if it was someone was Russian or Ukrainian or something else, it was taken for granted. But the minute you said a Jew, everybody was laughing. You actually came home from school and said to my sister, his mom, Mom, can you imagine there is a Jew in our class? And my sister said, well, in that case, it must be you. And he was shocked. It again, I can't hear.
Who was shocked? My cousin?
Yes, your cousin was shocked that he couldn't believe when his mother told him that if there is a Jew in your class, that must be you. Understand it. He couldn't believe it. Thanks to him, though.
Didn't know that they were Jewish?
Didn't know. It wasn't really discussed. It was very the way in the Soviet schools in the beginning of the year when the teacher would start reading the names, the kids also, besides the nationality, they had to say what their parents' occupation was. And for some kids, it was very, very embarrassing because some kids had parents as doctors, teachers, engineers, but some kids' parents might have been just a plain worker at the plant or a cleaning lady. And it hurt their feelings because other kids would start laughing at those kids whose parents were not in a sort of higher echelon of professions as an engineer or a doctor or a military officer. If your mother was maybe a cook at the dining, a cleaning lady, it hurt their feelings.
Did you ever, if I can ask, interject?
It was very embarrassing for the kids.
What was like, can I ask, what was communist Russia like in general? Like, it wasn't just, from what I understand growing up and hearing stories, it wasn't just the government against the Jews. It wasn't just Jews. I mean, they were discriminated against more than other groups, but they were what in general was the feeling of growing up in a communist country?
Well, as kids, little kids, we really didn't think much of communism because first of all, at least in my family, a lot of things were not discussed. The less kids understood about the Soviet regime and the communist policies, the better. So, and that's one of the things that our parents, aunts and uncles did, is if they wanted to discuss something, that's when they spoke Yiddish. So really they tried to isolate us and so that we didn't really.
You had, there were, if I can ask, there were like, you could feel that you didn't have freedoms that people in other countries had.
No. Like, as kids, we didn't know anything like that.
You couldn't get on a plane and go to another country for a vacation.
But as kids, we didn't know it because, in my case, my family was fairly well-to-do. And we had always nice vacations. In summer, my parents were taking me to nice places. And of course, I grew up to love the southern part of the Soviet Union, where the Black Sea is. I loved going to those...
they're little states that are now their own individual countries, right?
Right, yes, yes.
Like, you know, the way there's like, you know, Estonia, Latvia, Gruzia, which in English people call Georgia, but it's not Georgia. In Russian, it's called Gruzia.
Yes, right.
Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And you have to remember that a lot of people don't know Russian geography. And when you say southern parts of Soviet Union, they may not know what you're talking about.
Well, the Soviet Union consisted of 15, what they were called, Soviet Socialist Republics. And yes, right. Gruzia was one of those, Armenia, all those countries that end on Stan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, they were in Asia. And those actually countries were Muslim.
But they were allowed to be Muslim during the time that Russia was communist?
Were they more autocratic?
Were they more of their, they were allowed a little more freedom because they didn't want to deal with that?
I've never been to those republics. And as a child, I certainly didn't know anything about them. And there's a certain amount of, I don't want to call it freedom, but I know that all the people did go to the church that's Russian Orthodox. I'm pretty sure that in Asian republics, they did have a chance to practice their religion. How religious they were, how much freedom to practice that, I don't know. But I loved going in summer to the Black Sea, both Crimea and the Caucasus. Both places just incredibly beautiful, both surrounded by mountains and just beautiful, beautiful areas. Enjoyed going there almost every summer. And
you had a nice, you know, upbringing as a child. You didn't feel so much as a kid all the anti-Semitism because your family protected you from it until you came, to become a teenager and started to notice, hey, things aren't quite what they seem.
Even as a kid, as I mentioned before, at school where some kids said about Jews being burned and not burned enough, that was still before teenage age.
So like, in the time of Google, where you could go and Google Hitler, Nazis, and look it up, and there, it wasn't like there were history books about, or what they didn't teach in school what had just, because you were born in 51, so it was only, you know, a few years after the war. So it wasn't like they were teaching the history of what Germany did in Russia, right?
No, it wasn't history books. It was at school. You, what was the Second World War, and in Russia it was called the Great Patriotic War. Yes, it was in history books. History, the way it was taught in Russia, it was sometimes very far from real history. Because the areas that were occupied by the Germans, especially in Ukraine, somewhat in Belarus, and very much so in Baltic republics like Lithuania and Estonia, Lithuania more than Estonia and Latvia, were very eager to collaborate with the occupying forces in Ukraine, especially. They eager to help kill the Jews.
And your grandparents were killed by Nazis on your mother's side, were they not, or both, on your maternal
See, we don't know for sure how my grandmother was killed. Because there are absolutely no documents were left from those times. A lot was burned. And besides, my mother and her younger sister, they were the youngest of all children. When the war started, they just came home. My mom, teacher in like elementary school, and that was her first year of working and being a teacher. Of course, she had a summer all to herself, so she came home, and her younger sister, she just finished the first year of a college. And she came on vacation. So the two of them, because older sisters were already married and lived elsewhere. And when they came, both of them, on vacation, the war just started. And their parents told them, "You run. We'll stay. We're old. Nobody is going to hurt us." And they did manage to escape, my mom and her sister. So nobody really knows exactly what happened. Some neighbors of my grandparents said that they my grandfather go and drowned himself. Because he found out from neighbors that his wife, my grandmother,
that they drowned him. I got the story mixed up. That I thought they drowned, the Nazis drowned someone.
See, nobody knows what happened. See, my grandfather was a carpenter, and he and a lot of other Jewish men were not killed because they were working force. So they just needed people that could, Germans used them either to repair something, build something. So murdered, but a lot of
they were like slave labor, basically.
Exactly. But the old people and the kids, they were useless. So how they were murdered, I don't know. How my grandmother got murdered, we don't know. I used to work... Well, actually not. I used to work for a rather short period of time. There was a salesman in our company. And we just started to talk.
You're getting the salesman for the company where you work now?
Yes. We just, quite by accident, and I know exactly it was... in 2003, when I was going for the first and only and most likely the last time I went to St. Yeah. Petersburg.
It was 300-year anniversary of St.
Yes,
Petersburg.
Yes, and it just happened so that... he heard me talk to our receptionist. That was in the receptionist area. He heard me talk about going to Russia. And he said, well, that means he turned out to be a Jewish guy. And he says, well, that makes us Landsmen. Landsmen in Yiddish, meaning that we were from the same area, sort of. And I said, how is that? I said, my family all my family is from Belarus. And he says, so is mine. And it turned out that his family was from the same town, Petrikov. And then
people that don't know that Belarus is actually Belarus, or
Belarus,
Belarus, yes. In Russian.
So yeah, like white Russia.
White in Russian. So
turned out that his family, his ancestors were not just from Belarus. They were actually from the same town, Petrikov, as all my family. And then not only that, but one lady from the synagogue that he belonged to, her family was also from the same town. And in fact, while he was still working there, my sister was visiting me. We got together, we went out for dinner, the salesman and his wife and this lady from his synagogue. And she had some, I don't remember, photographs or something. And she, I guess maybe from her ancestors who survived, heard some things. It's like a hint of what might have happened to my grandmother, that there was a barn right in the middle of the river where the Germans and collaborators put all the old people and children on that barge in the middle of the river and set it to fire. It's a possibility that's how my grandmother perished. Yep. I can't say that I anti-Semitism all the time. I had very good friends who were ethnically Russian. Not anti-Semitism when I was in college, maybe because there were a lot of students who were Jewish. This college was very, I guess, liberal, maybe is the word to describe it. There were colleges that was a well-known fact that tried everything to when you had to, when you wanted to go to any particular college, and you might have been having very good grades, and you had to pass exams, set of exams, and they could fail you no matter what, no matter how good you were. And the Jewish kids didn't even try to enter those colleges. And the one I graduated from was very liberal in this way. As I said, a lot of Jewish students, a lot of Jewish professors, and didn't feel any kind of anti-Semitism. Those 5 years in that college were very happy years, lots of wonderful friends, some of them also immigrated to the States. So actually, my very, very best friend from college lives in Massachusetts, Newton, Massachusetts, near Boston. So I can't say that everything was negative in that life. There were, as I said, the student years were wonderful, and the vacation times were wonderful. As I said, I love Black Sea, going beautiful, beautiful places. But I always knew that that country is, I can't say anything against the people. In general, Russian people are quite, how to put it, a lot of them are very kind. Not everybody is a hater of Jews and other minorities. But Russian culture, a lot of great
ask a question.
Writers and poets, great composers. Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Yes.
So yes. I have a question. So,
yes.
You had who were Russian who weren't anti-Semitic.
Who was not anti-Semitic?
Friends, your friends. Your friends.
My friends?
Friends.
Well, first of all, I had a lot of Jewish friends. Well, like Lena,
okay, but
in Boston.
About the Jewish friends.
But I had a lot of friends who were ethnically Russian, and they were wonderful people. No, I can't say that I felt anti-Semitism like every day, every hour of the day. That's not...
I'm saying that you had Russian friends, friends who were not Jewish.
Yes, I did.
Whose family was
That's
not
right.
Semitic and allowed you to be friends with them.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, it was the government's policy, a lot of anti-Semitism, but regular people were not haters. Not at all, by any stretch.
Okay, well, thank you. I think we're going to end for now. You know, a learning experience for me. I honestly haven't done my homework. But I appreciate you taking your time. Come on, we're about 45 minutes in the episode. And I think what I'll do is post maybe the audio on Spotify. And maybe I'll post the audio because we didn't get interaction between and the guests. Yeah. And I welcome people's and comment. I want to ask you one last question before I end the episode.
Yes.
which is what knowing, you know, that your family was from probably originally from the area of Israel, and that your sister and her family were dead set against going anywhere but Israel from Russia. What made you choose to come to America rather than Israel?
I was thinking at first going to Israel, but there are very personal reasons for not going. And that talk about.
Book. I wrote about it in a book I'm writing. I wrote about my father and the problems with my father and the fact that my father was crazy. And so it was mostly because you wanted to get away from my father as far as possible. Yeah.
Yes, that's one of the reasons.
And one of the other reasons was you were afraid that if I had to go into the army, because the women in Israel have to go into the military, you were afraid that I don't think
at the time I was really thinking about it, because you were so little and the army, have we gone there, would have been so far away. But the first thing that you mentioned, that was the main reason.
I just wanted to get away from my crazy father.
It's a very difficult decision to make. To say whether I regret not going, I can't really say. Decision was made, and that's the way we lived here for 44 years. So no country is perfect,
I'll end it on that. That's a good ending. No country is perfect.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And the audience, if there is one, thank you for listening. And I'm actually quite nervous. To be a guest and talk.
We're done.
So
for
I hope so that
maybe
I, hope I made sense of
positive things.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being a guest.
Well, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming on.
We'll do better next time.
What's that?
I said we'll do better next time.
I'll do better next. Yes. Thank you. And good night to everyone who watched or listened. I hope that it had some entertainment. You, but at the same time, I hope it gives you a little more insight about where my background and where I come from.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.